Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right, I've preached a few messages out of this book already. A few weeks ago, I preached on no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I'm trying to remember if there's any. Oh, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Did I preach on that once too? I think I might have. I don't know. I don't remember. But sometime ago, I think I did. But if not, I will, because that's the reason. Well, that's part of the reason why I want to do it at an institute with men too as well. But anyway, we'll talk about that at another time. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Starting just at the first verse here, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then again at this verse, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, please help us now. I pray you'd give us an understanding of this text, Lord. Help it to sink into our hearts, this great truth that you have for us, that we are to endure hardness. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is, Soldiers Are to Endure Hardness, But Don't Become Hard-Hearted. There's a difference there. To endure hardness or to become hard-hearted. The world becomes hard-hearted when hardness comes their way, when hardships come their way, when trials come their way. But you and I need to endure hardness in a biblical fashion. We as born-again believers are called to be soldiers in the Lord's army. When you've been saved, you've been called by God to be a soldier. Amen. Now you have to come forward and accept that and enlist in that, so to speak, and to do your part. But that is what God would have you to do. Now hardness comes from being a soldier. Hardness will come into your life. Look, all the babies are singing. But this is the hardness that I have to endure right here. This. Alright? As a good soldier. Right? Anyway. Hardness comes with being a good soldier, but we have to understand what the apostle means. What is he exhorting us to do? What is he exhorting young Timothy to do and to understand? What does he want him to do? You will first, number one, the first thing you must understand is you will first endure hardness as you are conformed to the image of Christ. As you are conformed to the image of Christ, you and I are so full of sin and infirmities that when God Almighty starts the divine work of sanctification on your soul, it causes some hardness or hardships in us. You will go through some things. As God conforms you to the image of His Son, it is not an easy thing. It is not easy to take at all. There's some hardness that goes along with that. Many preachers have never prepared people through the preaching of God's Word to get them to understand that, hey, guess what? When you get saved, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect and sunny and happy and easy going. No, it doesn't mean that. But sometimes when people are trying to lead people to the Lord, they kind of paint that picture. That, oh, once you get saved, everything's going to be great. I mean, you're not going to have an enemy in the world. Everything's going to work out fine for you. No, that's not the case at all. We understand that the real war begins when you get saved. You weren't even in a battle yet until you got saved. When you get saved, you're in the war of your life. Amen? Many preachers have never prepared people for that. I guess you could call it the basic training in Christian life. As you see soldiers go through basic training, you will go through a basic training as the Lord puts you through some things. Amen? As you go through those things, when you get saved and you start to want to live for the Lord, troubles come. When you are not used to the rules or the confirmation process, amen? The conforming process to the image of Christ, when you're not used to that, it becomes hard. When you have to look at things in this life and understand that you don't go by the rules of this world, that you go by this book, that you live your life by this book, you have to endure some hardness. You have to endure some hard things that come your way. Some hardships. You're going to endure those hardships as you're conformed to His image. Make no mistake about it. Any man that has been to basic training can tell you that it's hard when you're not used to all those rules. When you have somebody telling you when you can eat, when you can drink, when to get up, when to go to bed. Amen? When to do all these things that you must do and to obey somebody regardless of what they tell you, you pretty much just have to obey them. That is hard. It's hard to take. It's hard for those that go through basic training to take those things. Many people don't like, many of the men that go through it, they're boys when they go through it, and by the time they're done, they learn obedience. It's sad to say they never learn that obedience at home. But what they're doing when they take you through basic training is they are conforming you to the image of a soldier. That's what they're doing. The same hardness that comes, the same conforming that comes when you're conformed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the predestination process, to be conformed to the image of Christ. For a soldier, they're trying to conform them to be that perfect soldier. And God is trying to do that work on you. But because of our sinful nature and our rebellion, this process can be very painful sometimes. When you get out of line with God and you disobey God's perfect order and you walk away and you don't obey the truth of Scripture and you don't follow God's order and He has to conform you and He has to mold you and make you what He wants you to be when you rebel against Him, that's a painful process. It's not easy to take. God is trying always to do that work, just like the potter and the clay. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, please. He says in verse number 3, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it." Then, you, when you're a sinner and you come in repentance and faith and are born again by the Spirit of God, before you do that, you are marred. And then He makes a new vessel out of you. But that molding and that making of that vessel is hard to take sometimes. There is hardness. You must understand whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, you've got to grow up and you've got to realize that there is hardness in this life. There are hardships in this Christian life that you have got to go through. And you're not always going to like everything that you have to do. You're not always going to want to obey the will of God. You're not always going to want to obey them that have the rule over you. You're not going to always want to follow God's perfect plan. You're not going to want to do that all the time, but you must endure hardness. You must endure hardships. They will come. And the first hardship that you'll realize in this life is when you are going to be conformed to Christ's image. It is not easy. It's a work of the Spirit. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You have to understand that confirmation process. You'll either take it one or two ways. You'll endure the hardness of it all, or you'll become hard-hearted. You know, I've seen some Christians become hard-hearted. I've seen some husbands become hard-hearted. I've seen some wives become hard-hearted. I've seen some children become hard-hearted against their parents. I've seen church members become hard-hearted against their pastor. I've seen it. They're not enduring hardness, but they're becoming hard-hearted. No soldier can be any good to his use to his general or to his leader unless he's been trained properly and conformed to the image that is necessary. And you are no good to God unless you allow Him to conform you to His image. Amen. You are no good to Him until you allow Him, till you give in and you submit to His conforming you. And you know what? Sometimes, like I said, that is enduring hardness. It is not fun. It is not pretty. But I don't know who sold you that fairy tale, But I never did enough dope before I was saved to think that when I became a Christian, my life was going to be easy. I knew that when I started to live by a different set of rules, when I started to obey a different leader over me, when I started to do those things, I realized that things were going to be different. When I started preaching the Bible, I realized that people were not going to like some things that I said. Every day I realize that people don't like some things that I say. I understand that. But the Bible says for me to endure hardness, yet not become hard-hearted. Amen? Husband, you better realize that you're going to endure some hardships and some hardness. You're going to have to. Because people under you, your children, your wife, are not always going to understand where you're coming from. They're not always going to appreciate your stand on things. But you must endure hardness and obey anyway and follow God. God will allow hardships to come your way. You will struggle inwardly as He humbles you and makes you meet for the Master's use. I'm telling you, folks, you have to understand that God is going to do something with your life if you're willing to allow Him to, and it will be painful. There are some things that God will ask you to let go of. How about some dreams? How about your preconceived notions of how life was going to be? Amen? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to let go of some things that you like to do that God doesn't want you to do. And endure those hardships that come from doing that. God will abase your pride. And we all have a lot of that, don't we? Husbands have a lot of pride. Wives have a lot of pride. And we teach our children to have a lot of pride. And we walk around in pride, but remember what happened with Nebuchadnezzar and his testimony after God had abased him. He is able to abase him. Remember, if you cannot obey your husband or pastoral preaching or your father as a child, then you will not be a fit soldier when the battle gets thick and hardships run long. Because let me tell you something, if you can't follow God's order now, when things really get rough in life and when you're thrown a lot of things that come at you, you will fold underneath the pressure of it all. I'm glad that God, when we first get married, God doesn't show us a snapshot of what we're going to go through. Because most of us would never have gotten married if He did. Amen? Most of us wouldn't have. We all think we, and I don't mean to ruin anything for you, Brother Jeremy, you've only been married a year and everything's going great, but I don't mean to ruin anything for you, but I'll tell you something right now, if you had a snapshot of the future, and you see everything that comes your way in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, some of you 20 years, some of you almost 40 years, when you see those things, and those, if you saw those, it would scare you half to death. But you have to understand, you didn't start at 38 years, you started at 1 year, and it's the lessons that you learn now that teach you to endure hardness in the future. Amen? Because they're going to come. Hardships are going to come. And the things that you and I think are big deals right now, 5 years from now, they'll be bigger ones to face. They'll be harder trials to face. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God is trying to condition you for the battle ahead. That's the first work that He does on the soul of a man after salvation. He conforms you to His image. That sanctification is a lifelong process. And obedience is paramount to a soldier. If a soldier is not obedient, people die. Amen? If they don't follow the chain of command and respect that order, then people die. You know what our families are doing and our churches are doing and our nation's doing? Not following the commands and the order that God laid down, and our families are dying, our churches are dying, and our nation is definitely dying. But there'll be people that'll hate to death the preaching that they got this morning, that I preached this morning, but it's exactly what is necessary to understand God's order and to follow it. I didn't say you'll follow it and you'll like it all the time. I didn't say that it'll always be easy to follow it. I'm saying that sometimes you have to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because life isn't easy all the time. God teaches us in the beginning of the Christian life that obedience is better than sacrifice. You will never be a good soldier if you don't obey the commands of Scripture that are already in front of you. Sometimes, again, you'll not always agree with the orders that you're to obey. That doesn't mean that you can disobey them. Sometimes children, sometimes a wife can become rebellious. Sometimes the wife, the children, they don't believe that the father knows what he's doing. Sometimes the wife doesn't believe that the father knows what he's doing, the husband knows what he's doing either. So a wife can become rebellious because she doesn't believe her husband is right or she doesn't like what he's doing. That does not give children or wives the right to disobey and not to follow. Does that make sense? I hope that it does. Because guess what? Every single person in this room is subject to exactly what I just said. All of us are subject to it. Amen? All of us. You know, there's a lot of things that I maybe don't like to do in Scripture when I look at the Bible and some things that God says, and I don't always like doing them, but you think I can shake my fist at God in heaven and say, well, God, I think I got a better plan than you and I don't have to listen to you because life hasn't been so easy. Life hasn't been so easy for me, God. I've been through some things and I don't know if you know what you're doing anymore. There are many commands that soldiers don't agree with or wish to follow, but people would die if they didn't follow them. This is where you and I have to learn to endure hardness. You know, God didn't say to endure hardness for the sake of when everything is going perfect and everything is well. That wouldn't be hardships, would it? To respect God and honor Him is to endure hardness through those hardships that we face, to endure them, to put up with them, to accept them for what they are and to humbly get through them. You have to decide to endure the hardness of being conformed in the image of His Son. Many times children, God's children, will become hard to the chastening of the Lord. You know, when you disobey, did you know you can obey God outwardly, but inwardly you can disobey Him? Did you know that? Outwardly you can follow all the steps. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Outwardly you can follow all the steps that God wants you to do, but inwardly you can resent everything that He has you doing. You know, Jonah repented, but he didn't have a repentant heart concerning his attitude towards those people that God saved, did he? He went and did what God wanted him to do, but he still... What happened after he saved him? Did I not say that you'd have mercy on them, and then he loved this gourd more than he did them? Remember that? You know, you can listen to your husband, or your children can listen to you, and you know, in their heart they can be angry with you and not want to follow you. And do you know that this, like I taught you before, the spirit of that obedience is not there? Listen, and I know what a lot of people have been taught, that if we just follow outwardly, then all that shows that we're on board. No, it doesn't, folks. It doesn't. Your heart is so easy to see whether you're following inwardly or not. It's so simple to see, and a husband or a wife and a mother and a father can see that in a minute, whether their children are following the spirit of that command, and they are loving them, and they are obeying and following. It is so easy to see that. it's easy to see whether that's being followed. But in Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about the chastening of the Lord. In verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. He talks about, in verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That's good for some trials. We'll talk about that next. But he talks about you. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know how many people faint today? How many people fall out today when the preacher gets up and rebukes with the Scriptures? How they cannot handle it? You know why? Do you know why? This is why. Despising the chastening of the Lord. God uses His Word to rebuke. The truth hurts. Plain and simple, it does. Whether we want to admit it or not, it hurts. And we live in a day and age where people do not want to be told that they're wrong. None of us like to be told we're wrong, do we? I don't like to be told I'm wrong. Amen? I remember when Lee and I were out hunting this week, and he'd say a few things, and he was almost scared to say some things to me. He didn't want to offend me. He was worried about offending me. So he was trying to be real careful how he said some things to me. I said, just say it. I mean, we're talking about how I don't know anything what I'm doing. Just say what you want to say. You know, just tell me straight out. You know, and he's like, well, you thought this was going to be easy, didn't you? I said, what'd you say to me? No, but he said, you thought this was going to be easy, right? Well, and then he said some few things to me. And in his way, he was rebuking a lot of things. And it wasn't, I wasn't angry about it. Why? Because I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what I'm doing. And he showed me some things of what I should do. You know, the Scriptures are the same way. The pastor is the same way. You and I can despise the chastening of the Lord as God corrects us. That chastening is correcting us for our mistakes. That rebuke is to correct us for our mistakes. It corrects and fixes us. And you know what? You and I despise that sometimes. And that's why you say, how do you know that? Well, because he says here not to despise it. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Ouch. That hits home for all of us, doesn't it? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Well, you would think today, by today's standard of preaching, that if a pastor gets up and rebukes somebody, he must hate him and have a worse spirit in the whole world and want everybody to die and think everybody's a scumbucket. Because he takes the word of God and reproves and rebukes and exhorts with all long-suffering of doctrine. But here we see that the Lord says this, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. If somebody's willing to preach the doctrine of eternal security, which I am, definitely, they better be willing to preach this too. Because my Bible says that if you're a son of God, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son he receiveth. Said every son. So if you think somebody can go out and claim to be born again and live like a dirty, rotten dog, and live wickedly and commit all acts of wickedness and be a son of God and he doesn't scourge his own son, then you don't believe what the Scripture says, because it says, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God will punish you in this life. Not just the one to come. But he says this, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You ought to be well pleased that God is chastening you. and using the scriptures to chasten us. You ought to be well pleased with that, because that means God cares for you. But if you be without chastisement, whereof are all our partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. You know, that's amazing. I sure hope you don't give more reverence in this case to your father than you do God. Amen? Remember that. If your father, earthly father, could correct you, your heavenly father should be able to do it. More so because he's God. But if you be without chastisement, furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh that which corrected us, and we have given them reverence, shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Do you understand that's the purpose of chastening? That's the purpose of enduring hardships through the confirmation process, as you're conformed to the image of his Son, because he is conforming you. He is doing that work to make you a partaker of his holiness. But you don't see it like that when it comes up. You see it, I want my way. I want to do it my way. Right? No, but I like my way better. You know what? I like my way better too, but God doesn't care whether I like my way better. I'm going to do it his way, or I'm going to be in trouble. Or I'm going to be chastened of the Lord. The Israelites hardened their hearts when God chastened them as sons. Don't do that. Endure hardness, but don't get hard-hearted. There is a difference. Number two, you will have to endure hardness in dealing with trials and tribulations in life. They will come. Hardships will come. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Chapter 11 and verse number 22. What? Whoops, that's the wrong chapter. Oh, I'm in first. I was about ready to preach on you the Lord's Supper verses there. You're about ready to get yelled at. You didn't even do anything. Did you miss me? 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 22. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Listen to what Paul said he went through. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul went through a lot of hardships. Now that's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But if you read, why do you think he's qualified to look at Timothy and say this? Thou therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? Why was he qualified to say it? He had been through it. He had been through a lot. He had fought a good fight. Remember at the end he said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Why did he fight a good fight? He was in a war and he knew it. Never lose sight when your family loathes your stand, when your so-called friends hate your stand for what you're standing for is right, when your government does. Remember, you're a soldier of Christ. You're to endure hardness. You and I don't really look at it that way. We only think of the temporal, not the spiritual problem that we are warring against the kingdom of Antichrist. We don't realize that. We don't see that battle. Never mind that the Scriptures warn you that we don't battle against flesh and blood. But our battles, like I've preached to you before, are spiritual battles. They are most certainly spiritual battles. Rebellion is a spiritual battle. Hate, disgust, anger, malice, wickedness, vileness, all of those things are spiritual battles that you'll face. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. If I don't keep you flipping in your Bibles, you'll fall asleep, so. What is that second Timothy I'm looking for? It might be. Well, not. Let me see here. I think I missed my verse here. Oh, it wouldn't be. Wait a minute here. Yeah, is it? Read that, will you?
For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach.
There we go.
We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe.
Right, there we go, thank you. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. You will suffer reproach in this life for Jesus Christ. I promise you, if you're standing for the Lord, if you're standing for truth, you're going to suffer reproach from your loved ones, your family members. You know what? Sometimes you're going to suffer reproach from your own wife, from your own husband, from your own children. You will suffer reproach. You will. It will happen. People will not understand you. They will not agree with your stand on things. They will not respect your stand on things. That will happen. Your family will not understand you. By the way, men, you would be wise to teach your wives the Bible. Very wise. The purpose that I am taking you aside once a month to teach you is not just to teach you on things for husband, but it's to teach you good doctrine, straight doctrine. But it's also for you to pass that along to your wives too, and to instruct them and to teach them. You know why a lot of people don't understand things is because they've never been taught. You know why you don't always, if the husband and wife is not together and unified in certain areas, it's because the husband has not taught his wife most of the time. Amen? That's a lot of the reason right there. And that falls on the responsibility of us as men to do that. Remember, the Bible says that the wife is the weaker vessel, but it also says if she will learn, let her learn at home. Let her ask her husband at home. Why is that? For her husband to teach her the Bible. Let me ask you that. Wife, do you see the need for your husband to teach you from the Scriptures? Think about it. The Bible instructs it. Amen? The Bible instructs you to. Problem is, many husbands, they don't do that. And then when their wives aren't on the same page, they get upset with their wives. It's like asking your kids to do something and they don't have any idea what you want them to do because you've never taught them or why you do something like that, and you've never really taught them about anything. See, my wife's not a child. I understand that, but you still are the head of the home, remember? Don't just be the head of the home when you can bully somebody around. Be the head and teach. Amen? Sometimes husbands just feel like they can just be a bully and push people around. Amen? But teaching is not doing that. Amen? We've got to get back to understanding that order that God has and following it. Amen? All of us. You You will suffer reproach from co-workers. Many times they'll not understand you and they'll falsely accuse you in your stand. Just like they do a pastor. If you preach this Bible as a pastor, if you preach this Bible the way it's written, you will be misaligned, you'll be lied about, you will be falsely accused, and you'll be called every name in the book. That's what happens. That's how it works. But listen to me, the Bible, out of it all, the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't become hard-hearted, but endure hardness. Let me ask you, are you guilty of that? Just think about that for a second. Ask yourself, do I endure hardness as a good soldier, or am I hard-hearted? When truth comes my way, do I receive it, or do I bristle at it? Am I brutish and bristle at it? Changes will come in your life, and you'll have to adapt to them. And you'll have to receive the lot that the Lord has given you. Amen? It's not always easy either, is it? But you must understand that you must endure hardship to be a good soldier. You have to endure it. You have to get through it. Soldiers don't always have the best food, the best clothing, the best income, or the best dwelling. So it is with the Christian soldier. He may sleep in the bed of affliction sometimes. You may sleep in the bed of affliction sometimes as a born-again believer. And you may not like what you're going through. But the Bible says, endure hardness, don't become hard-hearted. You may go through afflictions and sufferings, but don't lose sight of God. Don't lose sight of who called you. Understand this, number three, the world doesn't endure hardness but becomes consumed with bitterness. Have you ever met bitter people before? I have. I've met some people that are extremely bitter. And you can just look on their face and see that they have been through a lot in life. And they never knew how to deal with it. And they became bitter over it and angry over it. It happens to us. It can happen so fast to you, before you know it, you can be consumed by bitterness. It's so easy to come. One thing leads to another thing, and you become bitter. Remember, the Bible warns you, lest there be a root of bitterness also in you. How about Naomi? She had a bitter heart. She said, "The Lord hath dealt with me bitterly." She had a bitter spirit. It was seen all over her face that she was bitter about something. She had been through a lot. I've seen many people that have had a hard life, that have endured, that they did not endure hardness as a good soldier, but they became hard-hearted. They don't love. They don't know how to love. They're angry. And they constantly hurt. They became hard-hearted. I know children that are bitter towards their parents and the neglect and the way they were raised. And they never forget it and they become bitter over it. And you can see it all over their face. I know wives that are bitter towards the trials their husbands had put them through, or the loss of a child or a baby or a divorce that took place. And I've seen it cause bitterness. They don't realize that we're not our own, but we're bought and paid for with a price, and that trials will come, and that we cannot get bitter over it. They've not endured hardness as a good soldier, but become bitter. That's the way the world deals with hardness. They become bitter over it. When hardships come, it causes them to be bitter. But you and I, as born-again believers, are not called to such a thing. We're not appointed unto that wrath. We're appointed unto victory. We are soldiers in the Lord's army, and we don't walk alone, but we have the Holy One of Israel in our hearts to take us through it. Understand that. That you are not alone when you are facing trials if you're a born-again believer. That God Almighty is in your soul. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you have His book to guide you. And He will lead you and He will feed your soul what it needs to get through it. But the worldly way is bitterness and to become hard-hearted. And they do not endure hardness but become hard-hearted. Look at the Apostle Paul. He endured hardness but never allowed himself to get bitter. Never. Paul was never bitter. Oh, you'd think by modern day standards, if you see some of the things that Paul has preached, you'd say, boy, you must be a bitter man, that Paul. He preached on women submitting to their husbands and preached against charismatic tongue speaking and preached against women speaking in the assembly and preached against, oh boy, he must have been a bitter man, that Paul. He reproved, he rebuked, he exhorted with long suffering of doctrine. Boy, that man must have been a bitter man. No. Out of it all, he said he endured hardness as a good soldier. He had been through all of those things and never allowed himself to become bitter. Never allowed himself to become angry like that. Never allowed his heart to be consumed with bitterness. Say, how do I endure hardness and not get a hard heart? Well, look what he says to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say be strong in the flesh and be strong in the power of your own might. He says be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You've heard it before, but the same grace that saved you is the same grace that gets you through the trials of life. Amen? He says to be strong. He says also in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. He is saying follow the inspired Word of God. Know the book. Follow it. What you've seen me believe and hear, what you've seen me do, follow. You have to realize that you're enlisted in the army and in the service of the King, and soldiers will go through hardships. But preparation is paramount to victory. You have to prepare always for what's going to come your way. And by preparing, that is feasting on God's Word, that is praying, that is watching. Amen? Again, I'm afraid too many pastors have not prepared people. They sold them on the glories of heaven, but never warned them of the fierce battles with the forces of hell that they're engaged in here. Most people approach the Christian life as a cakewalk. And they don't believe that there's going to be hardships ahead. Listen, there's hardships in marriage. Amen? Husbands, sometimes your wife isn't always going to want to follow you. Amen? She's not always going to want to follow you. That doesn't mean that you don't do right. You don't endure hardness and you continue to do what's right, no matter what. Mom, your children aren't always going to want to obey you. That doesn't mean you give up on them and you don't endure hardness and hardships. Amen? You still follow through and make them obey you, regardless. Too many people today want to desert. They want to walk away. They want to walk away from the Lord's army and become deserters. Remember, there's no armor that protects the back. Once you leave, you're on your own. Amen? Once you walk away from God's will and you get out of line with God, you're on your own. There's no armor to protect your back when you run away and hide. If you will always remember that when you got saved, you became the sworn enemy of Satan and his kingdom. So then as a good soldier, you need to put your armor on. You know what you need to put on? The helmet of salvation. No? Why? Because it's a battle for your mind and heart. Amen? There's a battle for your mind and heart. You know, the thoughts of a man are wicked continually. The human heart that is desperately wicked. Even these little babies that we hold in our arms and these and husbands and wives and your children, the human heart is desperately wicked. That's a hard thing to take sometimes, isn't it? I bet you Hitler's mom never thought she was holding the next mass murder of the world. Amen? Never thought it in a million years, did she? Gill says this, he says, according to about the helmet, this is his opinion, that is, meaning either Christ himself, the Savior, the helmet of our Savior, or the salvation itself, which is the author of and the well-grounded of it, and the allusion is to Isaiah 59, verse number 17, talks about the helmet. Amen. And such a hope of salvation by Christ is a defense of the head against false doctrines, for the helmet is a piece of armor for the head, and it is an erector of the head in times of difficulty, affliction, or distress, and it covers the head in the day of battle when engaged with Satan, the enemy of souls. Folks, if you don't put that protective armor on that's found, that spiritual armor that's found in Ephesians chapter 6, if you don't put that armor on, you go out naked and try to fight the devil, and you try to fight the battles, and when you get online with God, anything is capable of happening. Anything. You know, a few acts of disobedience by a child, by a wife, by a husband to God, a few acts of disobedience can lead to full-blown wicked sin. Amen? Just a few things. Oh, I couldn't imagine ever doing that. You get aligned with God, and there's a lot of things you can do. You don't learn how to deal and endure with hardness. There's a lot of things that can happen. A lot of things can come your way. You get a bitter heart, you never know what you're capable of. The grace of God is manifested as the armor of God to endure hardness. Why is it that you and I don't think that that's important? You know, you never hear a whole lot of sermons on that, do you? On the armor? You don't really hear a lot of preaching on that. Why? Well, because most Baptists forget that it is a spiritual battle. They just thought it was a battle to build the church, but they didn't realize that there's a spiritual battle that goes on every day. And you and I have to face it. And I don't care how you were raised, whether you were raised right in a good home or not, you have the same wicked thoughts and the same wicked battles to face than any other man or woman does. Amen? In case somebody didn't tell you, you're just as rotten a sinner as anybody else. Amen? It's all level at the foot of the cross. All wicked in need of a Savior. What does he say in Ephesians? He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the dark." Now, who is he talking about here? I'm going to preach these to you sometime, but who is he? He says, "We, for we, the believers." That's you, lady. That's you, husband. That's you, father. That's you, child. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So because of that, he says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You're supposed to take the sword of the Spirit. You're supposed to take the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You're supposed to have it all, folks, and you're supposed to do battle. This is what enables you to endure hardness as a good soldier. Putting your armor on. The only way not to become hard-hearted is to recognize that there's a war and prepare properly for it. Deserters, people that walk out, that turn their back and walk away from the battle, have no protection. You and I must understand that hardships are going to come. There's too many today not fighting the battle. Too many casualties, too many soldiers not enduring hardness but becoming hard-hearted. That's why he warns us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Keep thy heart, protect thy heart, guard thy heart, for out of it. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you hard-hearted? Have you had some trials and some hardships come in your life and it's made you hard? Have you hardened yourself to the truth? I don't need you to answer me. But you know what? You can't answer God. Have you become hard-hearted? Have you allowed yourself to be hard? I've seen husbands become hard-hearted towards their wives. I've seen wives become hard-hearted towards their husbands. I've seen children become hard-hearted towards their parents. They've not endured hardness, but they've hardened their hearts. Look what happened to Pharaoh when he hardened his heart. You and I need to be tough and understand that we have a battle ahead of us, that life is a battle, that marriage is a battle. It's not easy, is it? Marriage is not easy. Amen? You're going to have hardships in marriage. I know some of you already know that because you've been through them, but you are going to have hardships in marriage. You really need to grow up and realize that people go through battles. You know why a lot of marriages end? Because people act like a bunch of little kids because they have hardships and they don't endure them. They get hard-hearted because of them. You know why people don't want to listen to, they get rebellious to the truth is because they become hard-hearted. So then no matter what nice thing somebody does for you, no matter how somebody tries to be a blessing to you, no matter how much truth they give you, it won't make a bit of difference because your heart is so hard you'll not receive it no matter what's said. You know, you put yourself in a dangerous position when you become that way, because when you become hard-hearted like that, only God can get through, and then what God has to do is chasten you. The only way to break a hard heart is chastening. He will chasten you if you become hard to Him. He will cause things to come into your life, and He will punish you as a father punishes his son. But if you endure hardness, if you put the armor on and endure it and take the hardships of this life and endure the hardness that you go through, you will be a vessel unto honor for Him. Unity is very important when it comes to anything. Amen? But unity is based off of truth. And you have to understand that life is difficult. And it's not always rosy and pretty and neat. That there are difficulties in life. But if you're enlisted in the Lord's army, then you'll realize that it's a battle you're in, and you'll fight it till the end. Father, thank you so much. I pray you'd help us, Lord. Help us not to become hard-hearted, but to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Dear Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, we all need the reproof and rebuke of Scripture. I pray we'd receive it and grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.